ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10th चैप्टर 9th मदर यशोदा बाइंड्स लॉर्ड कृष्णा टेक्स्ट 21st। नायं सुखापो भगवान् देहिनां गोपिकासुतं ज्ञानिनां चात्मभूतानां यथा भक्तिमतामिह। नाउ ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पल ट्रांसलेशन। The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of Mother Yashoda, is accessible to devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service. But he is not as easily accessible to mental speculators, to those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances, or to those who consider the body the same as the self. Purport. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the son of Mother Yashoda, is very easily available to devotees, but not to tapasvis, yogis, jnanis, and others who have a bodily concept of life. Although they may sometimes be called Shanta Bhaktas, real bhakti begins with dasya ras. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 4.11, ye yatha mam prapadyante tam sathaiva bhajami aham mam avartmanu vartante manushya partha sarvasha. As living entities surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Pratha. Everyone is seeking Krishna, for he is the super soul of all individual souls. Everyone loves his body and wants to protect it because he is within the body as a soul. And everyone loves the soul because the soul is part and parcel of the super soul. Therefore, everyone is actually seeking to achieve happiness by reviving his relationship with the super soul. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 15.15, Vedesh Sarver Aham Eva Vedya. By all the Vedas, it is I who am to be known. Therefore, the karmis, jnanis, yogis, and saintly persons are all seeking Krishna. But by following in the footsteps of the devotees, who are in a direct relationship with Krishna, especially the inhabitants of Vrindavan, one can reach the supreme position of associating with Krishna. As it is said, Vrindavanam parityajya padam ekam na gacchati. Krishna does not leave Vrindavan even for a moment. The Vrindavan Vasis, Mother Yashoda, Krishna's friends and Krishna's conjugal lovers, the younger gopis with whom he dances, have very intimate relationship with Krishna. And if one follows in the footsteps of these devotees, Krishna is available. Although the nitya siddha expansions of Krishna always remain with Krishna, if those engaged in the sadhana bhakti follow in the footsteps of Krishna's nitya siddha associates, such sadhana siddhas also can easily attain Krishna without difficulty. But there are those who are attached to bodily concept of life. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, for example, have very prestigious positions, and thus they have the sense of being very exalted Ishwaras. In other words, because Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are gunavataras and have exalted positions, they have some small sense of being like Krishna. But the pure devotees who inhabited Vrindavan do not possess any bodily conception. They are fully dedicated to the service of the Lord in sublime affection, prema. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore recommended prema pumartho mahan. The highest perfection of life is prema, pure love in relationship with Krishna. And Mother Yashoda appears to be the topmost devotees who have attained this perfection. Complete next two verses also have been asked. Text 22, translation. While Mother Yashoda was very busy with household affairs, the Supreme Lord Krishna observed twin trees known as Yamal Arjuna, which in a former millennium had been the demigod sons of Kuvera. Text 23, translation. In their former birth, these two sons, known as Nalakuvar and Manigriv, were extremely opulent and fortunate. But because of pride and false prestige, they did not care about anyone. And thus Narad Muni cursed them to become trees. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 10th canto, 9th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Mother Yashoda Binds Lord Krishna. So in these verses, Srila Shukadeva Goswami is explaining to Parikshit Maharaj the exalted position of Mother Yashoda. He is comparing that the Supreme Lord, who was very easily accessible to his intimate devotee like Mother Yashoda, but he is not easily accessible to those who are like mental speculators or those who are striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances, or to those who consider the body as a self. So there are various types of people. They try to control Krishna. Various ways of exhibiting our controlling propensity. Even mental speculators try to gather so much knowledge and they think that by knowledge we can understand Krishna. If I have knowledge of all the scriptures, I can recite verses, still Krishna is inaccessible to such people. Or there are other types of tapasvis or yogis. They try to perform severe austerities, torturing bodies, and try to reach some higher levels of realization. But for such people also, Krishna is not accessible. Or to those who consider the body as a self. That these kind of people, karmis also, they cannot understand Krishna. And Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, Naham Vedarna Tapasa न दाने न चेज्जया भक्त्या तु अनन्या शक्य. That you can understand me only by pure devotional service. Bhaktya tu ananya shakya. Naam vedarna tapasa. Vedas, the knowledge, knowledge aspect. Naham vedar, na tapasya. Not by tapasya. Na chejya, even by worshipping the demigods. So Krishna himself is saying that he cannot be understood by such methods of self-realization. Bhaktya tu ananya shakya, he can be only understood only by pure devotional service. And that is a real mystery, that how Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, here in this pastime we can see that the Supreme Lord, who is the source of all creation, who is from whose navel Garbhodakshaya Vishnu comes, Kshirodakshaya Vishnu is lying and on his navel, Garbhodak Brahma is born. So in this way we can see that his navel, Krishna's lotus, Namo Pankajanabha, it is the source of all creation. How that Krishna's navel or waist can be bound? Can somebody try to understand the Krishna's greatness, supremacy? It is not possible by imagination or by mental gymnastics. Srila Prabhupada says that. But here we can see that when Krishna came almost 5000 years before in Vrindavan, he was performing wonderful pastimes. And Mother Yashoda is his confidential associate. Nobody can take the position of Mother Yashoda or Nanda Maharaj. They are the Nitya Siddha Parshadas, the confidential associates of the Supreme Lord. When Supreme Lord comes in this material world, they also come along with him and try to enhance the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. And as his Kaumar Lila, Krishna's Kaumar Lila, Bala Lila are going on in Vrindavan, in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. And Mother Yashoda is Krishna's mother. That is one type of rasa Krishna exchanges with his devotees, Vatsalya Bhav. There are five primary rasas: Shantaras, Dasyaras, Sakhyaras, Vatsalyaras, and Madhuryaras. So Srila Prabhupada is explaining here that the real bhakti begins with Dasyaras, not even Shanta Bhaktas. So Mother Yashoda is beyond that, beyond Dasyaras, Sakhyaras, she is Vatsalyaras. That is more higher, where just like a parent has a concern for their child, my child should be protected, should not do wrong things right from beginning of their birth. They are so much concerned. And sometimes the parents have to become angry with the child, that just to see that he doesn't do any wrong things, he doesn't get distracted by some other thing. And it may appear similar type of rasas that Mother Yashoda is also having with Krishna. But we should know that these activities are happening under the yoga maya potency of the Supreme Lord. Krishna's antaranga shakti, yoga maya shakti, internal potency, in which Krishna himself allows to be controlled by his own devotees. Those are very special devotees. Krishna gives that special prerogative, that Krishna appears to be controlled. Nobody can control Krishna, but he appears to be controlled. He allows that kind of exchange with his devotees. And here we can see that Mother Yashoda was, in the beginning, not able to bind Krishna. She was trying. She brought some ropes. And it is explained that these ropes were not like today's nylon ropes or plastic ropes, but they were very soft, made up of some kind of jute cloth, soft cloth, so that Krishna is not hurt even if he is bound, just to restrict his pranks of stealing butter. That was the only motive. But still Krishna was not getting allowed, not getting bound. And she called other gopis from neighborhoods. They brought their ropes, whatever ropes they had. But still, it was falling short all the time. And it is explained that Mother Yashoda, she got almost all ropes in Vrindavan. All the ropes were there in Vrindavan, she almost got all of that. But still, Krishna was not getting bound. Always two fingers short. And all these other ladies, they were so much captivated by the beauty of Krishna. They were just wonderstruck with that pastime, and they were just standing there. And Mother Yashoda is trying to bind. Finally, when Krishna himself thought, okay, let it be now, enough, enough is enough now, let us start the next pastime. Let us go to the next, whatever episode or, and then he allows himself to be bound. And then he is bound to that mortar. And Krishna is there with the mortar. Mortar was also part of his leela, stealing butter leela. So Krishna was looking everywhere now. Now what to do next? Some other notorious activity. And Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ultimately, he is fully cognizant. He is aware of everything. We may see certain living entities with their conditions. That this devotee is like this, like that. Externally we may judge. And sometimes we may keep some distance also. That better not go too close, we may get affected. He's already not a high level devotee. But Krishna was not like that. He is the supreme merciful. And as he was looking here and there, he saw these two Yamala Arjuna trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. Huge, tall trees. And he didn't see their externals, oh, these are just trees. Or in their previous lives, they were sons of Kuver, Manigriv, Nalakuve. He didn't see. He knew that these are the sons of Kuver. And they are standing there because of some kind of sinful activity. Some curse has come upon them. Narad Muni, who is a very merciful sage, he cursed them because somewhat they had become arrogant, too much pride, arrogance, because of aristocratic birth, wealth. They were born in a very aristocratic family. Too much of wealth. They couldn't handle. So therefore, they were doing all abominable activities. They were enjoying. They thought that this body itself is all in all. That is only pleasure. And even when Narada Muni came, as a sage, sadhus, they come, one should behave oneself. Usually people become little alert when some sadhu comes. Immediately if there is some sin in the mind, they immediately try to control. But in today's world, it's not seen. People are doing, they're not having any kind of shame. In front of sadhus also, they do all nonsensical activities. And this was, Narad Muni was not happy with this. So he decided to curse them. And sadhus curse is one kind of benediction. Sadhus chastisement or curse. We don't like to go near someone who is too much strict, right? So Narad Muni very compassionately, it was his compassion upon these two sons that let their material activities end. And how they will end? Without the mercy of the Supreme Lord, these material activities cannot end. So he decided to curse them, to become the trees. Because trees don't wear clothes. They have to stand at one place and tolerate all the heat, cold, rains, everything. And it's a different level of consciousness by which they have to tolerate everything. They have that consciousness is not so much developed that too much of heat or cold they cannot tolerate. They have to tolerate because of particular level of consciousness. So they were standing like this for many years. Many years they were standing, and they, it is explained that some trees, they some kind of redwood in US, California. Some trees there which is like 7,000 years old. Just standing at one place. And another time, Prabhupada explains that Calcutta Botanical Garden also, there is some trees thousands of years old. So these trees are just standing there at one place and people come there, circumambulate or whatever they do. But it's a very suffering situation for that soul. So these trees were there for so many years. And our acharyas explained that the trees in Vrindavan are not ordinary trees. We should not think that all trees are because of some sins. They have committed some sinful activities, therefore they are standing here. But some trees are kalpavrikshas, the desire fulfilling trees. Some sages, they take birth as trees in Vrindavan. And are witnessing the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, right? So many years, some trees, it is said that some trees are there since the time of Lord Krishna, right? Kadamba tree, Krishna jumped from that Kadamba tree in the pond, Kaliya Dahan, Kaliya Daman Leela, Yamuna pond. He jumped from that tree. And it is explained that that tree, Garuda had put some kind of drop of nectar in that tree. So therefore that tree was surviving. Otherwise, Kaliya was so powerful, his poison, all the trees, living entities around, they could not survive. Even the birds flying in the sky above that pond would fall because of the vapors, poisonous vapors created by the Kaliya. There are trees like that. Those were there in Vrindavan for many, many thousands of years old. Himalital, it is explained that Krishna, he once went to this place, tamarind tree, Himalital. Krishna went and he was so much absorbed, mood of separation. So his bodily complexion changed as golden, as gold. So then it was revealed that the Supreme Lord, he will take birth as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Kali Yuga. That's the place in Himalital. And again, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Vrindavan, when he went to this place, Himalital, he was so much absorbed in the thought of Krishna that his bodily complexion changed as a blackish complexion, the mood of Krishna. So we can understand that how fortunate these trees are, that they are able to witness such pastimes, right? They are there. Bandiravan, banyan trees, many banyan trees. And many times people have a question whether you are worshipping this form of the divine couple. What is the relationship? Whether they are not married and all. These kind of thoughts people have. But these trees are witness of their marriage. These trees are witness that they were married under these trees, banyan trees. Brahma was the priest. So, and there are kadamba trees, tamal trees, bakula trees, so many trees in Vrindavan. They're all, so many are desire fulfilling trees. In the Rupa Goswami, Samadhi Mandir also, there is eucalyptus and tamal trees. There, and the vines of these trees are touching the samadhis of such great sages, souls. So, devotees usually go and pray to these trees that please fulfill our spiritual desires. That should be our aspiration. Desire to perform pure devotional service. That we should ask. That I want to perform pure devotional service. Not my material desires get fulfilled. That is not the proper etiquette in Vrindavan. So therefore, these trees are very, very important. Vanchakalpa. Sometimes we call Vaishnavas also as wish-fulfilling trees. Vanchakalpa trubhyascha. Every morning when we enter in the temple hall, everyone bows down and prays, offers a prayer to all the devotees, Vaishnavas, who are the Vanchakalpa. They can fulfill all our desires. They are like the Kalpavrukshas. So we have to go more deeper in such prayers. Sometimes we just like a ritual, quick, or sometimes we. Should try to avoid such shortcuts. Should go more deeper. Vaishnava etiquette is a more deeper subject. It is not only for the neophytes. Sometimes we feel that, oh, this class is going on. It's for the new people. It's not for me. Right? But we should know that why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasized so much. He told Sanatana Goswami to write instructions on the basic dealings with Vaishnavas. How we should deal with each other. That's quite important. Otherwise we take it for granted. We think that, oh, I know this devotee or Vaishnava. I don't have to offer my pranams or dandava. You don't have to acknowledge him. So, we don't know what we are doing actually. So therefore we need to go more deeper in whatever we are doing. Daily activities, we don't know what is the spiritual position of another Vaishnava who is sitting next to us. Right? So we may think that, oh, he is like this, like that, and he does so much of fun sometimes. But we don't know his rasa with the Supreme Lord. So we should never forget that. So Krishna, he was, he is the supreme cognizant person, supreme personality of order. So he, although he was bound to this mortar, he was glancing everywhere. So who is the next now? That's his, some kind of thought he had in his mind. He had already delivered Putana, Shakatasur, Trinavart. They were like giants, giant demons, not small demons, they were giants. Huge monsters. Krishna had very easily, effortlessly, he had delivered them without putting any Vrajavasis in difficulties or anxiety. That how this small boy, child is killing huge demons. They were thinking that, oh, maybe Lord Narayan is protecting, or we had done some kind of pious activities, so therefore somehow that this calamity has gone away. But Krishna was covering everyone with his yoga maya potency, his antaranga shakti, by which everyone gets covered. Nobody can understand Krishna. And therefore Krishna can relish such pastimes. And then he look at these two trees, and he understood that now their turn. They are standing there for so many years. They have seen me getting bound and all. I was stealing butter. They know I was stealing butter. They have witnessed such wonderful pastimes. So let them be get liberated from such conditioned life. And he decided that, okay, let me... And why they were there, first of all, because acharyas explained that these kind of anarthas, we need to overcome. These two trees represent particular type of anartha within our heart. That what is this anartha? Is that a pride and arrogance arising from aristocratic birth and wealth. Sometimes one may become puffed up. It is said that puffed up like a chip rice or puff rice, like that, gets puffed up suddenly. So Krishna doesn't like such kind of pride, and which produces hatred towards others. I am the superior, all others are inferiors, they have to surrender unto me, I am the only one, nobody is equal to me or above me. Such kind of pride may come, arrogance, and I don't hear, I don't want to listen from any teeny many authorities. I know everything. Don't tell me anything. Don't try to preach me. So therefore sometimes it is easy to preach to the newcomers. Right? But inside person, very difficult. Very difficult to tell someone, Prabhu, please, now, I didn't see you for Mangalarti. Don't ask me. Don't tell me this. So many kind of anarthas are there. Our conditioned nature comes up suddenly. Suddenly somebody pressing our wrong nerve somewhere. Suddenly we just burst out. So that's kind of pride or arrogance. Is that anartha is there within the heart. Or there is debauchery, drinking, offensive speech, even verbally. Somebody may not be physically violent, but verbally using some very bad words or abusive language, strong speech sometimes can affect someone. So that kind of torture also, offensive, verbally somebody may commit. So that is also not proper. Or cruelty due to unkindness. Is one doesn't realize that he is acting so much, is creating so much of turbulence in someone's life. So therefore, these kind of anarthas are not good in our own lives, for our own spiritual life. This is not a good sign. Our heart should become more soft. Should not be hard. Krishna doesn't like hard-hearted people. He wants heart to become soft like butter. The gopi is ever churning the yogurt and buttermilk. So their heart has become very soft. They cannot tolerate Krishna's pain. Krishna in some kind of difficulty or any other living entity. So therefore, when the sadhaka bhaktas, they have, sometimes there are traces of such anarthas. So one should pray to the Lord or hear such pastimes to remove those kind of anarthas. So therefore, it's very, very important that we carefully remove these anarthas. And therefore, sadhaka bhaktas have to be extremely careful that whether I am doing this as a service or is it causing a disservice to someone. Because everyone wants to grow. Everyone wants more and more space, privacy, and but in that due course of time, we don't realize what is happening. So therefore, one has to be extremely become sensitive to others' needs. And therefore, one has to go more deeper in the same activities one is performing. One doesn't have to invent something new. There is always tendency to keep inventing something newer and newer. There is no need of such things. Whatever Prabhupada has given, we should try to follow that. And such, Srila Prabhupada explains that such sadhaka bhaktas, when they follow in the footsteps of Krishna's nitya siddha associates, then they also can attain Krishna. Here Mother Yashoda is nitya siddha devotee. There was no need for her to perform any kind of austerity or read scriptures to develop love for Krishna. She was already having a spontaneous love for Krishna. Because she was already a nitya siddha. She was from the spiritual world, Golok Vrindavan. So there was no need. But for us, those who are in this mortal world condition for so many lifetimes and still not able to overcome conditionings, they should follow in the footsteps of sadhak, nitya siddhas. Therefore, one has to perform sadhana bhakti very carefully. One should not try to jump over that now I have perfected everything, I don't need to perform sadhana bhakti. That's another kind of danger that I have done for 20 years, 20, 25 years, I've been doing the same thing, but no love is arising in my heart, so better start going to the higher rasas. That is also not proper, artificially, it is again artificial. When Krishna wants, just like he glances at these two trees, he will glance at some devotee who is performing very humble service, trying to become the servant of the servant. When he is somebody, that living entity, he is in that mood, automatically he will attract Krishna's glance. And then there is no need of further explanation. That devotee understands from within. Just like when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, his Mahaprakash Leela was going on. The first one to receive mercy was Dukhi. One very simple lady, she was not very recognizable by big, big devotees. They were doing big, big services. But she was just trying to assist those who were doing great service, trying to arrange pots for Abhishek of the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya's mercy came to her first. He saw that she is in the proper mood, becoming the servant of the servant of the servant. So she received the mercy first. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave that mercy to her and told that from today onwards, you will be sukhi. You will not be dukhi. Your all miseries are over now. That is the mercy. How one can attract the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Not by pushing everyone and going in the front and standing in front of the Lord. That Krishna glance at me, I am the first one to come. So, Krishna is seeing everyone. Who is the first and who is the last? On the spiritual level, who is the last? Who becomes the servant of the servant of the servant? He may be materially the last person, but spiritually he may be the first one to receive the mercy. So sometimes we forget, some kind of illusory energy acts upon us and we forget these basic principles. So therefore we have to be reminded again and again that becoming the servant of the servant of the servant, it is not easy to become the servant. Suddenly somebody takes a bigger position and we have to serve him. How it is possible, isn't it? Now he is more junior to me. How he has got some position and I have to serve him now. It's really difficult to adjust some managerial situations or organization positions. But spiritually we must understand that if we want to progress in spiritual life, if we want to attract the mercy of the Lord, we have to become the servant of the servant of the servant. And that way we can make tremendous progress. And when we, that consciousness, therefore consciousness is absolutely very important, that what is our consciousness? Whether we try to take a position and we think that maybe then I will develop a consciousness. That maybe because I am not in that position, I am, therefore I can't do anything. I don't have that consciousness. But it's not like that. One can be in any position but still develop a very higher consciousness. One doesn't have to be a head pujari to be a real, to offer a real service to the Lord. He can be simply assisting and still in his mind, his consciousness is so high that he is a head pujari. Because Krishna is accepting his services. It is ultimately the consciousness. And for that matter, any service one is performing, it is not necessary that one has to have some tag, organizational tag, that he is the head of this department or the president or sannyasi or GBC or like that. These are all externals. These are responsibilities given to act in that consciousness. But if that consciousness is not developed, then these are all external designations. So therefore, here Srila Prabhupada explains that even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, who are again big giants, guna avataras, they are big, big demigods who we are actually in comparison to them. But sometimes they get affected. Brahma, of course, within few chapters we'll see Brahma Vimohan Leela. Even Brahma was bewildered whether he is the same, that child, how he can be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Let me test. So Brahma also gets bewildered to understand Krishna. Shiva also, we had already heard. So even these great demigods, sometimes they develop that Ishwari bhav, controllership, right? So what to speak of us in the conditioned state, those who are sadhaka bhaktas? That desire, those subtle desires are so strong, deep rooted. Therefore one has to uproot these desires, such anarthas. And therefore in the next chapter we'll see that how Krishna removes these anarthas by uprooting these trees, Yamala Arjuna trees. He uproots them, removes them. Otherwise, if even there is a root, again the tree may grow. So therefore the anarthas have to be uprooted completely. Sometimes we may commit offenses towards some other devotee and we may go and beg forgiveness, Prabhu, Prabhu, please forgive. I committed a big blunder. And again after some time, again the same thing, same offenses. So that's not proper actually. If one has to uproot, one has to completely change the consciousness that I will never commit again that offense. I have to develop a very healthy relationship with other Vaishnavas. So therefore, as we are staying in the big community, it's a blessing to serve each other and make progress. But at the same time, there is equal amount of danger. So therefore, one has to become extremely careful that how to serve in the association of devotees and make progress. Hare Krishna. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Shri Prabhupada ki. Jai.